Hare Krishna. I'm reading from and actually completing my glorious master. This is the epilogue. I'll read it in a I don't know how to say it. I'll read it in a simple way because it's very touching for me, but I'll read it in a simple way. Epilogue. I met Jagadish in Los Angeles. After a few weeks there, my family and I moved to Dallas, and I assumed the duties of headmaster of the small school that remained after ISKCON's original Gurukul had closed. I also had the opportunity for the first time since joining ISKCON to serve installed deities. I remember the shock of first entering Radha Kala Janji's altar. The atmosphere on the altar was exactly the same as being close to Prabhupada. I then understood that Prabhupada had captured Radha and Krishna in his heart. Prabhupada wrote to Jagatrini and I in Dallas. He said that he was pleased that we had settled into a steady ISKCON service. That service in the Dallas Gurukul, however, was an administrative post, not a teaching post. One day I received a phone call from Jagadish requesting me to visit ISKCON's farm in Port Royal, Pennsylvania, and possibly become the sole teacher supervisor of that school. When I spoke to him on the phone, I intuitively knew that Port Royal would become my home. Jagatrini and I went to Giranagari and gradually took up the responsibility of educating the 10 devotee children who were in residence with their parents at that farm. As I knew nothing about teaching, these students became my teachers at, quote, the School of Essential Experience. I had no books, no curriculum, no training, and no one with whom to consult. My students, on the other hand, were all experienced Gurukula veterans, capable of pushing a novice teacher far beyond his limits. Yet, we continued, based on Prabhupada's order, and a desire to please him. While I was in Dallas, Prabhupada traveled first to Los Angeles, then to New York, then to India. His final illness had begun. From Los Angeles and a few months later from Vrindavan, Prabhupada wrote and encouraged me to be steadily engaged in teaching and to, quote, quote, please take this movement very seriously. Gradually, Prabhupada's health deteriorated. When I traveled from Australia with Prabhupada, I was able to give him the $1,000 I had hoped to give him the year before. Over the next year, I continued to send Prabhupada donations in my regular letters to him. When I understood Prabhupada was ill, I sent him half of all the money I had left, about $1,000. When Prabhupada left Bombay for Vrindavan in May 7, 1977, I understood that my only shelter would soon be leaving. I cried like a small child who knew that he was soon to become an orphan, although I could not really understand what that meant. Prabhupada's health didn't improve, and again I sent him half the money I had. By this time, June 1977, Prabhupada's secretaries were answering his mail on his behalf. I knew it was inevitable that Prabhupada would leave, but I could not actually conceive of a life without Prabhupada's strong and concerned shelter. Prabhupada's health continued to decline steadily. Fearing that my opportunities to offer him donations were running out, I sent Prabhupada my final donation. I sent every penny I had. Again, I received a reply from Prabhupada's secretary. In November 1977, 3 days after observing Sri Govardhana Puja, I was with Dristadumna in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We heard that Prabhupada had left this world. We cried, we consoled the younger devotees, we lectured about the passing of our beloved Prabhupada, but we cannot fathom the significance of Prabhupada's departure. We knew the philosophy. We had studied, practiced, and lectured on it for years. We knew Vani was more important than Vapu, that imbibing the spiritual master's instructions was much more important than associating with the spiritual master's physical form, from which we may be separated at any time. We knew this. But when Prabhupada actually left, No philosophy gave us shelter. He was our shelter. He was the person Bhagavata, the giver of the book Bhagavata, and he had set like the sun from this world. Who would pull us out of Maya when we stumbled? Who would give us another chance? To whom could we write and be overjoyed at being handed a yellowish aerogram striped in orange and blue with Tridandi Goswami A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami written on its back in that special purple red ink? On whose feet could we place our heads as he patted our seekers with affection of a loving father? We cried intermittently for days and weeks and months. We clung to his instructions and our memories of him. We had no choice. Oh, how we missed the personality, that personality, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, our Lord and Holy Master, our dearest friend, our most concerned father. How we miss him. We were mere children when he left this world. Although his blessings continuously rain upon us as he promised, and although we do not feel he is actually gone, how we miss that personality. While he was in this world, I asked him about the trivial, the foolish, and the mundane. What could a baby with his small hands and limited consciousness beg from Krishna's dearest devotee? It is now more than 18 years since his departure. I have been his disciple for 27 years. Still, I can only glimpse his greatness, which seem, regardless of how I grow, to always loom ahead like a great mountain peak. Feeling like an elderly orphan, I long for his association more and more. I pray for his eternal service. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. That is the end of the epilogue and the end of my glorious master. Remembrances of Prabhupada's mercy on a fallen soul. Hare Krishna.